Welcome to episode number 84 of the EDPHD Team Podcast. My word, that was squeaky today. I apologise. I have no justification for it other than I'm excited to be speaking to someone, well, myself actually, but I'm excited about this topic today. So, as you can tell, it's just me again. You are so welcome. I hope you're getting used to it by now. And allowing it and embracing it. As always, if you enjoy the content of this podcast, please do like, share and subscribe. Today, talking about why tracking is failing you and more in a nuanced way, I suppose, why eating intuitively is better for fat loss than dieting for a lot of you. Now, all the anti-diet people right now will be listening to this and just think, blasphemy, I can't believe you're talking about intuitive eating and fat loss. It's an anti-diet method. I'm not talking about an intuitive eating intervention, although to be fair, that actually might be appropriate here. I'm talking about eating intuitively. And if you are unsure what the difference is, eating intuitively really means honoring your internal cues, being present, being mindful, and eating to hunger, fullness, etc. And for physical reasons, as opposed to emotional. On the flip side, intuitive eating is a structured anti-diet intervention that is based off 10 core principles, 4 probably core constructs. That is quite a structured intervention. And that is not what I do with clients for many reasons. I'm not an anti-diet practitioner. So specifically here, I'm talking about why eating intuitively might be better for fat loss than dieting. Also, more specifically, if you or your clients are somebody who regularly overeats. Now, I have sort of flipped the way that I diet clients on its head because, alas, I do still have clients that are dieting for various reasons. And I used to think, like 90% of the fitness industry does think, that the way that you work with someone and diet them and promote fat loss with them is to get them to ask them to track generally or look at portion sizes, make simple swaps. Ultimately, the first thing that we always did was put people into a calorie deficit, work together to get somebody into a calorie deficit. And then once they achieve their fat loss goals, the kind of general idea and what you will see a lot of fitness coaches do, at least the good ones, the crappy ones don't even do this. They keep you on maintenance calories forever and tracking forever. But the good coaches, what they'll do is they'll help you with fat loss. And then they will say, right, we're going to try and be a little bit more intuitive here. And we're going to take off your macro targets. We're going to be more flexible over time. And then you aim to be roughly maintaining without tracking. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But what often happens in these cases, and what I see quite a lot with people who struggle to drop body fat or struggle to maintain the lost body fat, is that they, when they stop dieting, they find that they are regularly overeating again. So they stop dieting. And what happens when you diet, as a bit of a side note, is that your body fat levels reduce. And so as a result of that, your leptin levels reduce, and leptin acts to reduce hunger. And so you do get naturally hungrier. There are other hormones involved here, but it's not the purpose of this podcast. You do get hungrier as you diet. You have a natural drive to eat more. You're probably moving a bit more because you're more mindful of your steps. You might be doing some cardio. And so generally you do get a bit hungrier as you diet. And so when you stop dieting and you don't have that goal, you have an increase in hunger and you're more likely to overeat. And you're much less used to honoring your internal cues. And so when you do overeat or you eat to fullness, sometimes even that triggers you to overeat. And then you feel guilty and then you eat some more and then you often regain that. But that's actually just a side note in terms of what we're talking about today. Because what I'm talking about today are people who would benefit from eating intuitively before they even get to that point. Because doing that will help them maintain fat loss when they do eventually potentially track or just reduce their body fat. And it's the reason why when I work with a lot of fat loss clients now, not all clients, but with a lot of my clients that do this, I actually support them and develop them in honouring their hunger and fullness cues first and emotional regulation and other factors first. And then we take on fat loss. Now, it takes a very, very motivated and determined and values-driven person to say, I trust you enough to not do what I always do in order to get different results. And I respect anyone who does it this way and trusts me or my coaches to coach them in this way and who does this for themselves. So if you are someone listening to this and you regularly overeat or you feel like you're always failing on your diet and you try this, please do let me know, because I have so much respect for anyone who has the audacity to break the rules of hashtag fitness, as much as I love it. Also, on top of that, eating intuitively doesn't really have a quantitative outcome. And you'll get from this podcast that actually you may well drop body fat when you eat intuitively, at least initially. But often you don't see these quantitative measures, and it can be a lot harder to stick to it when you don't have, for example, a drop in scale weight or something clearly measurable, which is, again, another reason why I really respect anyone who does it this way. The reason why I have flipped the way that I coach on its head in the last couple of years and the way that I've developed the ETPHD method in the way that I have is because of A, experience, but B, the reason that most people overeat is not because they don't have willpower. The reason that most people overeat is threefold. A lack of understanding and interception in regards to internal cues. So understanding physical cues of hunger and fullness, and a lack of being able to honor them, and a lack of emotional regulation and being unable to identify and sit with emotions. And they're the main reasons why people overeat. And we have the research around emotional eating, and we know that that's the main reasons why people do it. It's not because they don't have willpower or they don't have any self-control. It's because of this lack of ability to sit with emotions. And what happens on top of this lack of ability to respond to internal cues, what happens is that people tend to suppress or numb their emotions with food. And if you listen to the self-awareness podcast a couple of episodes back, I talk a little bit more about that in that episode, so I'm not going to go into it in too much detail. But tracking doesn't stop you from suppressing or distracting or feeling the need to suppress or distract yourself. And it often happens when you finish dieting because you are so hungry. You've got that physiological adaptation that I just spoke about. So you've got that physiological adaptation, you're hungry, you've got this inherent biological drive to eat. But because you just cracked on with tracking straight away and you never understood why you overeat in the first place, you masked it with tracking, that problem just comes back again when you finish dieting. And you say, oh, well, I just couldn't keep dieting forever and I just had no willpower. As soon as I gave up, I just stopped. It's not that. It's because you didn't deal with the issue why you were overeating in the first place. And if you look at the research around intuitive eating, higher intuitive eating scores are associated with a lower BMI, which is very much anti-fitness industry narrative, FYI. A lower BMI, and if you put people who are in a larger body into an intuitive eating intervention, they don't gain weight. So eating intuitively doesn't inherently lead to weight gain. Sometimes if you've not eaten intuitively, and I'll do another podcast on this, if you haven't eaten intuitively before, you might gain a little bit of weight initially. But it tends to come back down again. And again, it's different for everyone. Intuitive eating scores are associated with eating in line with your bodily needs, i.e. that interceptive awareness, hunger, fullness. And it's also associated with eating for physical, not emotional reasons. So you can imagine if you are getting more intuitive with your nutrition first, you are getting more aware of your internal cues. You're getting more aware of yourself emotionally, you're improving your self-awareness, and you're getting better at eating for physical, not emotional reasons. Even before you start tracking, for a lot of people, you're probably going to drop body fat like that. If you're somebody who tends to overeat regularly, you're probably going to see your drop in body fat. So it's the opposite of what you think is going to happen when you're not tracking. And if you master these things before you start tracking, then when you finish tracking, if dieting is still something that you want to do, which sometimes that changes over the course of this period, then when you finish tracking, you go, oh, I've got this inherently like larger biological drive to eat. I'm going to honor that a little bit and I'm not going to feel bad about it because it's what my body needs. And then you crack on, because often it's when you feel bad about things that you're then overeat again to suppress that feeling. What being more intuitive with your food also does is takes the pressure off this big focus on tracking and being perfect with your macros. Now, sometimes we track and diet as a means to avoid whatever is going on in our life. Sometimes we overeat as a means to avoid what is ever going on in our life. So when we become more intuitive and we remove this focus on diet and fat loss for a while, this direct focus on diet and fat loss for a while, we have to actually start thinking about what's going on in our life. And that's bloody scary. And that may well lead to a little bit of overeating initially because we don't want to deal with it. But be more intuitive in general. It involves you getting more curious about your physiological cues as well as your psychological. And it actually allows you to identify, oh, actually, I'm spending less time on dieting. I'm spending more time thinking about what brings me joy, where I have purpose, where I have passion, and on the flip side, where I'm unhappy. If you are regularly overeating, there's a high chance it's because you don't feel fulfilled in every part of your life. And that might be something like your job. You might not feel that you have a purpose there. It might be something bigger. It might be actually that you have no feel that you have no boundaries or no autonomy in your family role, and you do everything for everyone else and you feel very unfulfilled. And when you remove the focus of fat loss and dieting, you actually probably have to deal with that. But again, if you don't deal with that, it's still going to be there when you stop tracking. So becoming more intuitive allows you to start thinking about, where do I feel unfulfilled? And a good idea is to think about those times that you do overeat. Like, when is it happening? Is it, you know, when you have time to think? Is it when you had a bad day at work? Is it, you know, get curious about it. And then you can focus on, let's add some fulfillment to that part of my life, as opposed to let's diet it away and not deal with the problem because it will come back and bite you in the ass in 16 weeks' time. If you start dieting when you are not happy or when you're not fulfilled and you're using dieting as a way to escape that, often your feelings of worth, your self-worth, is not hugely, it's not great. You're often in a place of not feeling actually that worthy of joy, of contentment, and ultimately of success. And so when you start dieting at a place of undeservedness and of low self-worth, you are more likely to actually sabotage yourself and then overeat because you don't think that you're worth the outcome. And that's somewhere that no one deserves to be. You think that what's going to happen when I get to this end point? And one of the biggest reasons that we actually self-sabotage is a fear of success. And you might think, well, of course I'm not scared of getting to my goal weight, which we don't use. Of course I'm not scared of succeeding in my diet. But what happens when you succeed in your diet and you realize that you're unfulfilled? What happens when you succeed in your diet and you realize that the problems that you were trying to escape from with dieting are still there? You are scared to get to that end point because you're scared that you're going to feel the same way at the end as you do at the start, and dieting hasn't solved your problems. And so what you do is you overeat. You self-sabotage. You don't let yourself get there. So then you can keep focusing on that and you can keep saying, the reason that I'm not happy is because I have no self-control and no willpower and I'm unable to diet and I don't like my body. Because it's far easier to be unhappy because of your body than it is to be unhappy because of your marriage or because of your job or because of regret from life decisions that you've made in the past. It's much easier to blame yourself, to blame willpower, and it's much easier to blame self-control. So let's go on another diet. Let's overeat ignore the feelings that we're feeling and suppress them with overeating, self-sabotage and eat some more, and then think that it's our fault and blame ourselves rather than actually deal with the I'll be happy when situation. What else happens when you diet when you're not happy? You don't actually start to find joy. You don't actively seek out joy because, again, you're distracting yourself. But if you struggle to distract yourself with dieting, you then start to distract yourself with mindlessly eating. And so if a sad feeling comes up or a quote-unquote negative feeling that you don't want to deal with when you're dieting, you mindlessly eat. Maybe you track it, maybe you don't. And your progress slows down. Or maybe it leads, because you have an all-or-nothing mentality, it leads to overeating even more. Because you started mindlessly eating because you were a little bit hungry and because you were feeling a little bit sad. And so you started mindlessly eating and then you thought, well, I've screwed it up now, I may as well eat it all. Mindfulness supports fat loss when combined with nutrition education. We know that from the research. Mindfulness is associated with reduced binge eating, reduced disordered eating, reduced overeating. It's associated with improved body image. And we've seen this from mindful eating programs that incorporate things like meditation, mindful eating, surfing the urge. Being more mindful as a whole is associated with reduced disordered eating symptoms and i.e. reduced overeating. And so for a lot of you who overeat on a diet, actually doing mindfulness work is better for you than tracking for your fat loss goals. Now, mindfulness doesn't inherently lead to fat loss, and eating intuitively doesn't inherently lead to fat loss directly. But incorporating these things in, even though they don't have a quantifiable outcome, is going to be better for your relationship with food and may well lead to fat loss, more so than tracking and regularly overeating well. Because you're dieting out of a place of unhappiness, you're more likely to have this low self-worth and speak to yourself like crap. On the flip side, when you eat intuitively, eating intuitively is associated with improved self-compassion. Self-compassion is actually associated with lower BMI. And one thing to note here is that it might be easier to be compassionate towards yourself when you're in a societal norm body. So it might be easier to be self-compassionate with yourself when you have a lower BMI. So that's a bit of a disclaimer. But self-compassion is associated with lower BMI. There was even one study that I teach on EIQ that looked at what happened when they had three groups of people and they gave two of the groups of people a donut and one group of people a glass of water. And then out of the two groups that had a donut, they gave one group a self-compassion intervention. And they incorporated three core constructs of self-compassion: mindfulness, self-kindness, and common humanity. And so they gave them a little talk about self-compassion. And then what they did is they got all three groups to sit at a table and had ad libitum, sweet intake. So they let them eat as many sweets as they wanted. And what they found is the group that had the donut and didn't get any self-compassion ate as many sweets as the people that had the water. I.e. the people that had the water were probably really pretty hungry, so they ate quite a lot of sweets. The people that had the donut and no self-compassion ate quite a lot of sweets. But the people that had the donut and then got a self-compassion chat intervention ate significantly fewer calories from the sweets. Self-compassion, it will help you every time you overeat and you speak to yourself kindly, you're less likely to continue to overeat. And so self-compassion is one of the most fundamental things you can do to support fat loss. And if it's associated with intuitive eating scores, we can think, okay, maybe they come together. Self-compassion, mindfulness, intuitive eating, these things all come together and they're all often associated with each other. And most of them are associated with lower BMIs. And yet most of you think that tracking is the way forward for you. Again, there's nothing wrong with tracking. I have lots of clients who track. And for people that have a good relationship with food from the get-go, tracking might be a great idea. But I have flipped it on its head. And I will work with clients to support self-compassion first, mindfulness first, hunger and fullness cues first a lot of the time, and emotional awareness and emotional regulation. So again, if you haven't listened to the self-awareness podcast, definitely listen to that. Something to know is that people, fat loss maintenance is tough, right? If we look at the research, after 5 years, 80% of fat loss that is lost is regained. Not 95% diets fail. That statistic is crap. And the science that that's based off is crap. So 95% of diets don't fail, right? This is certainly not an anti-diet podcast. But most diets, and most diets fail, and most weight is regained. So why are we not doing something differently? Emotional eaters are less likely to maintain weight after fat loss than non-emotional eaters. So it makes sense to actually sort out emotional regulation, sort out self-awareness, sort out interception, sort out self-compassion, sort out mindfulness. So that at the end of a diet, when you're hungry and you have that biological drive to eat, you're much less likely to overeat. So if you are somebody who overeats and you think, actually, do you know what? This is the stuff that I need to do. A couple of practical things that you can do is incorporate things like a mindful meal into your day every day. So first of all, remove tracking for now. Nutritionally, you want to think about eating regularly, eating enough protein, eating a variety of fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and reduce snacking so that you're eating to satiety in meals. And if you don't know what that feels like, get curious. Ask yourself before a meal, am I hungry? Ask yourself when you're finished, am I satisfied? And then incorporate things like a mindful meal where you sit without distraction. You take your time with your meal. You notice the tastes. You notice the changes in your hunger. Implement some sort of meditation. And that meditation might be a guided meditation. For example, from Spotify, I like Mindful in Minutes. I like Sleep Cove at Night. I love Unplug Meditation, the app. They're my recommendations, but there are thousands and millions probably meditation tracks. But you can do things like, if you don't find that meditation is for you, you can do things like a mindful moment where you stop once a day, and Emma always laughs at me for doing this, but once a day you stop where you are and you just take everything in. You breathe and you say, this is something I smell right now. This is something that I see right now. This is something that I hear, taste and feel. And that's a mindful moment. And you can laugh at yourself doing it. It's absolutely fine. But that helps improve your mindfulness. Taking some grounding breaths. Again, something that I do if I feel quite tight-chested or if I feel like I'm reacting to everything rather than responding, is I'll just stop and take some grounding breaths. If you put your hand on your heart at the same time, it can help lower your stress response. So it helps reduce things like your cortisol level and your sympathetic nervous system activation. Get out in nature and improve your self-awareness. If you are someone who overeats and feels like they have no self-control and self-discipline every time they go on a diet, stop dieting. It doesn't matter about your body fat levels at this point. I'm talking to anybody. Stop dieting. Work on this side of things first. And then when you feel that you've stopped overeating, when you feel like you're quite aware of yourself, when you feel that you know what hunger and fullness feels like, and when you feel that you're quite mindful, and what that looks like is honoring your hunger and fullness, but what that also looks like is noticing your thoughts without acting on them all the time, responding, not reacting, being present. Once you're at that point, then it might be like, okay, great, I'm ready to start more of a structured fat loss intervention now. I feel confident that I'm compassionate, mindful, and I can be flexible in this. I guarantee you, if you do it this way round, you are far more likely to enjoy the diet process and you're far more likely to reduce your overeating episodes or completely avoid them, and you're far more likely to maintain your fat loss. Just because everybody in the fitness industry tells you tracking is the way forward, it does not mean that's the way that you have to go. Break the mold, break the norm, try something different. I assure you, it's the best way to go for you. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, if anything from this podcast resonated with you, please do share your best bits, leave a review. And if you want to message me about anything that you hear, feel free to message me on Instagram.